I'm here with Kathy Myers. We met in a class that I teach at Santa Rosa Junior College, and early on in the term, one of the things I use for the students to get to know each other is I ask, have you met anybody famous? And, you know, Northern California people have met Robin Williams or Francis Ford Coppola, but Kathy said she had met somebody famous, and I said, what? Who did you meet?
I met Elvis Presley.
Casually, or you met him at a mall?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 356, Meeting the King. We find cool stories wherever we go, and sometimes we're able to turn the microphone on and capture them and share them with you. This week, Reed Martin talks to his student Kathy Myers, who describes the times she met Elvis Presley as a way too young girl.
How did you meet Elvis Presley?
Well, it was just one of those things, being a Southern California girl and kind of born and raised with that kind of Hollywood personas around, that it became sort of part of our expertise as far as knowing where some of the movie stars lived. And I had heard through the grapevine, through my peers, my girl peers, all of us were, of course, young, virginal girls so far.
Needless to say.
Yes, needless to say. And as it turned out, this was one of Elvis Presley's favorite thing to be around, was young, virginal girls. We were too virginal to know what was going on. However, we found out where he lived, and it was a fairly simple little map of how to get there, and it passed on through these girls saying you could go over to Elvis's house and simply knock on the door, and if he was there, he would let you in. And so how could we resist? When we had absolutely nothing else to do one night, we decided, let's try it.
And how did they find out where? Do you know the story of how they knew where he lived?
I'm sure it started with one group of girls who got the word somehow that it's okay to come over. They got invited, and then obviously just through the grapevine, I would just spread like wildfire. And of course, this was even before the days of cell phones and Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff where things can happen instantaneously. But somebody, it got down to one of my girlfriends, I forget exactly who, found out about it, knew somebody that went over there. So they said that the instructions were to go through the Far East Gate at the Bel Air area of Beverly Hills, has gates, and you go the one furthest east, and then you make like three right turns, and it was on the left in the middle of the block. And it's funny because I happened to see a girlfriend of mine, the one friend I have from high school who actually went there as well. She wrote an inscription in my yearbook, remember going to Presley's house, she wrote.
And was this walking distance from where you lived, or did you have to drive, or
no,
how did it work?
Drove. We always drove. My girlfriend had drove her boyfriend's brand new 1964 Chevelle Malibu, very hot car. So we would see Elvis, and then maybe cruise Sunset. You know, this was the cruising days where you could just drive around and flirt with people in cars.
So you pull up to the house. And you ring the bell, or you knock on the door, and does Elvis open the door?
No, he never opened the door. It was always one of his buddies. He lived with, I found out later, a guy named Red and his Memphis Mafia. Uh-huh. He lived with several men. I thought that was a little odd. I thought maybe he was a little, maybe gay or something. I didn't know. But he was living with all these men. Little did I know he already had Priscilla stashed back in Germany at this time. It was at a time when Elvis was, it was kind of a low period for him. The Beatles were big, and of course, as far as we were concerned, from Santa Monica, surf music was the big thing, the Beach Boys and all that stuff. Elvis was kind of out of it. He was old. He was almost 30, you know, really
ancient. Old. Oh, my gosh, ancient. What sort of, you know, you hear about the shape Elvis was in. What sort of shape was Elvis in when you saw him? And this is 64, 65?
Yeah, he looked great. He looked very, very nice. He didn't look like the Elvis screen persona. Well, let me backtrack a little bit. We were introduced by his, or we were brought in. If Elvis was home, they would let you come in. If he wasn't there, they wouldn't let you come in. I thought that was wise of them. But we walked into this house, and it was obviously, I think, a rental house. It was brightly colored. There was a pool table in the lobby area where it didn't really need to be. You had to put a quarter in it to get the balls, which I thought was funny. So he'd maybe borrowed it from a pool hall or something. And then adjacent to that hall was a little den with a bar and big comfortable couches and television and a jukebox that had teddy bears stacked all over it. So I sat down right next to Elvis, and we kind of introduced ourselves, and we just sat there very kind of primly, and I was surprised that he did look different. His hair was brown, which, of course, he dyes it jet black for the films, and it was in a big pompadour in the movies, but it was more casually combed back and sort of a medium to dark brown, which surprised me. And it surprised me that he wasn't too tall. He was, mm-hmm. I don't know if he was, I think it was under 6 feet, maybe 5'10". He didn't seem that tall in the movies. Mm-hmm. Next to Anne Margaret, he towered over her.
And was he eating fried peanut butter sandwiches? What was Elvis eating? Did he offer you anything to eat? What was on the menu?
No menu, nothing to eat. He had a bar there, but he didn't really, I don't even recall him offering us a soda pop or anything. Mm-hmm. He had cocktails, and his friends were drinking. And he got up a couple of times. He smoked. He kind of chain smoked, which surprised me. And he had one little affectation I thought was odd. He had a bowl on the table, and he put on gloves before he lit a cigarette. Maybe to protect his fingers or so that they wouldn't smell. Mm-hmm. Another thing he did was he left. Actually, we were watching a boxing match on television, which, you know, for a 16-year-old is not the most exciting thing, but I was trying to pay attention. And I did engage him in a little bit of a conversation when they talked about it being an exhibition fight, and I didn't know what that meant. But we just watched it until the fight was over, I guess, and then we excused ourselves. And like I say, we were right down there near Hollywood, and so we went cruising on Sunset and thought that was kind of neat. Didn't tell our parents about it until much later, and because they would have been really mad, you know, thinking about
what, when you told them later, what was your parents' reaction?
My mom was kind of thought it was neat, and my dad, he kind of poo-pooed. What are you doing, you know, going over? You said you were at the library or something like that, and you're going to this guy's house. I don't know about that. But then later on, it became my claim to fame. So now you're one step removed from Elvis. And also by that, you're another step removed from Richard Nixon. So that makes you only 3 steps removed from Mao Zedong.
Hi, this is Paul Harris, nationally unknown radio host. This is the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This week you can see us perform the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, revised in 2 countries, Great Britain and Singapore. Then in the next couple of weeks we'll be out and about performing Shakespeare, all the great books abridged, and the complete history of comedy abridged in the UK, Singapore and Hong Kong, and around the US. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to reducedshakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Now, I'm going back a little bit. I seem to recall you told me that you got some instructions when you walked in, but before you met Elvis.
Exactly. And the instructions were, don't talk about the Beatles. Ah. Do not mention the Beatles. And you just go in here and only stay in this area. Don't wander around the house. Mm-hmm. So it was like they sort of prepared you for meeting him and how it was going to be. And that's basically all it was, just sitting next to him watching a fight on TV.
So all those stories about him and the Beatles being pals and meeting up, well, they may have met up, but mm-hmm. there was definitely some mm-hmm. jealousy there.
Yeah, yeah. Don't mention him. Don't talk about him. And, of course, we didn't. We were sort of dumbstruck and just looking at him because we were so young.
Yeah.
It was a very odd environment to be around these older men and maintain our cool, although I wasn't all that. I don't know. I wasn't all that impressed with him.
How many of you were there? Did two or three of you went, or how many were there all at the same time?
I think there was three. My friend Deirdre, who I said I just, we just met up. We've kept in touch these years, the only ones from high school. And then my friend Sherry, who actually had the car. Maybe there was four because the twins were there, the twins, Debbie and Gretchen. We went together. So there was just room enough for a few of us there on the couch and the chairs that they had in this fairly small room.
And you were the only ones there. There wasn't anybody else.
No, there was a couple of girls there, I believe, when we arrived.
Ah.
There was still a couple of girls there that I didn't know. And they looked more his type. They were the dark hair.
Right.
We were the long blonde straight hair, and they had the bubble hairdos,
right.
which and the big makeup, the eyeliner was big in those days.
Now, when I found out you knew Elvis, I just thought that was the coolest thing. What different kinds of reactions have you gotten from people over the years? Anything interesting?
A lot of it is just no, disbelief, you're lying.
Right.
Until I go into some of the details or I say, well, believe it or not, yeah, that's,
yeah.
that was true. But it was not unusual for amongst our peers to, have people in our class whose parents were in the industry. A lot of people lived in Santa Monica, or our school drew all the way up to Malibu. So celebrities were not that big of a deal. Some of our peers were actors. My best friend growing up that I spent last weekend with was a child actor when we were growing up, and I used to go to plays and meet actors that I'd see later in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
My father met my mother when he was living with Red Skelton, who was a famous comedian and movie star.
Well, and as a former clown, the clowns all love Red Skelton.
Yeah, yeah. We used to go to CBS. We used to get tickets there, mm-hmm. see people. I was able to see Lucille Ball in her Lucy show, actually sit in the studio audience for that. So celebrities were a little bit closer in terms of, our general circle.
Yeah.
We knew celebrities a little bit more than maybe your average kid in the Midwest.
Now, have you ever mentioned to somebody you met Elvis and somebody else said, I did too?
No, I never have. But I did read about it in a biography of mm-hmm. Elvis. They did mention in there, and I thought, yeah. They said, well, Elvis sometimes would just allow people to come in who came over and knocked at his door. And they mentioned it in the fact of the, and I'd never thought of it, but that he couldn't go out much.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it was a huge big deal. If he wanted to go to a movie in those days, he had to rent an entire movie theater and go alone with his buddies to watch a movie. And they actually did mention that in the book, that people were, young girls would knock on the door, and fans of his. I wasn't necessarily a fan, but mm-hmm. That they could come in and be with Elvis and in his home.
Mm-hmm.
So that sort of validated mm-hmm. my story.
Yes, it wasn't a false memory. This really
right.
did happen.
Yeah, it really did happen. But like I say, it was. I was impressed with how different he was from his screen persona. I was impressed by his sort of shyness. And he was just a good old boy, very polite. And that you always hear about him. But the thing that surprised me was his drinking and smoking. And the other thing that was odd is that he got up, and I think he did it twice, he changed his shirt. He just went in, and he must have had a closet full of shirts that he would change into. Maybe he didn't like the smell of cigarettes on him or his clothes or something. But he just walked off into another room. Of course, maybe he was doing more than I wasn't keeping tabs of all the, keeping a head count of all the women there. Maybe they were sneaking off or, and doing something that I was unaware of.
Well, that is such a great story. And yeah, in the words of the king.
Thank you very much.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your brushes with celebrity greatness via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, the assistant to the third footman of the King of Rock and Roll, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Chris Young. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Reed and Kathy for recording this. Also, special thanks to Paul Harris. Thanks to the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show for supplying this audio clip that you're about to hear. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 356 1068ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Here it is now for your listening pleasure, a rare recording of Elvis singing Shakespeare's Sigh No More, Ladies, Sigh No More.
Sigh no more, ladies, sigh no more. Men were deceivers ever. One foot in sea and one on shore, to one thing constant ever. And sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your songs of woe to hey, naughty, naughty. Sing no more, dear, dear, sing no more. A lump so dull and heavy, the fraud of man was ever so, since summer bird was levy. And sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blind and mommy, converting all your songs of woe into hey, naughty, naughty. Converting all your songs of woe into hey, converting all your songs of woe to hey, naughty, naughty.
How was that, Colonel? Give me some fries, a big orange drink.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less. So much less. So much less.